Good late evening to you back in the Midwest. If you're in God's country, good night to you. For those of us who are in Phoenix, it's 10:12 p.m. here in Phoenix, 1:12 a.m. back in Indiana, and Purdue has fallen to UConn 75-60, as you all know. It's a lot of people said bittersweet, it's tough to swallow, whatever you want. UConn proved all the people correct that said they were just head and shoulders above everybody, including Purdue. It's tough to swallow for a Purdue fan. Just because I look forward to this, I look forward to Purdue proving some people in the East Coast, specifically East Coast biased media, wrong. But they couldn't do it. Couldn't do it today. And it came down to guard play. UConn's guards were incredible. Like, I don't know how else you could view the style of play, the execution, the physicality, the relentlessness. They were so good on the boards. They did the little things. They kept plays alive. The fact that Purdue got out rebounded is noteworthy. I think the way Purdue got out rebounded is also noteworthy. The fact I think it was the guards who propelled that number. I think UConn out rebounded Purdue by like seven. Tough way. We all had nightmare scenarios in our head about what it would look like. We didn't want to see Edie's career to end. And one thing I think none of us want to see is him not to be able to show who he was on the biggest stage. I think just to kind of honor the way he's played, the consistency, again, relentless on his side, relentlessness of Zach Edey. You wanted to see him hold his own and do even more, and he did it again. The problem was the major problem for Purdue tonight was that we've always said that you need a big three for Purdue to be really successful. And tonight you had Smith played a solid to okay game. He wasn't hitting his elbow jumper, which could have made things a little bit better, no doubt about it. But Jones and Lawyer simply couldn't get free for shots, and when they got looks, they didn't knock them down. They didn't have a lot of opportunities. Purdue hardly shot the three-pointer at all. Very, very odd game for Purdue to not be able to even find their looks. But it really, again, is a compliment to the way UConn defended Purdue. Hurley's game plan was really good. They're a great team. They're a great team. Purdue is a very, very, very good, if not great team, but this UConn team is head and shoulders above the college basketball world, and I think it's easy for me to admit that. I don't know if it's easy for all Purdue fans to admit it. But tough way to end it, but not the end of the world either. I mean, the thing that I hope you are doing the same thing, but the thing I'm going to focus on is the fact that Purdue did make the first Final Four in 44 years, and then they went the next step, got to the championship, and then they got beaten by the best team. And if these two teams play 10 times, what do you think? Does Purdue win two or three? I mean, I said 1-3 earlier. I've thought about it a little bit more. I think Purdue has the ability to do some things a lot better than they did tonight, obviously, but that UConn team, they're just great. Dan Hurley's also a massive jackass, and he proved that tonight too. Great coach, horrible turd of a dude. So, that's tough. Let's look at a little bit of a. I'm not going to look too deep in the stats. Not a ton of you guys here on live. I understand why. It's super late. If you're anything like me, at best you feel melancholy, I think. At worst, you're probably sad or angry. But I don't know if that's, I don't know if we have much to be sad or angry about. But as a friend of mine said earlier, I want Purdue to win because I want to be that guy who can, kind of walk in and just like say, yeah, I'm a Purdue fan, the reigning national champion, Purdue Boilermakers. And we didn't get to see it tonight. It's not all lost, but I think I can tell you there were about 40,000 Purdue fans in Phoenix today that wanted to walk out of that arena and say that we are the alums, we are the fans, we are the we're Purdue family, and we're now national champs. You can add that to all the good things that define Purdue, but now they proved it on the biggest stage. Not this year. Not this year. Painter proved a lot this season. He proved he can break through. And obviously, having a guy who's so damn good, Zach Edey, his will, his strength, his agility was all on display at different times tonight. And he had to do so much because there was just not anything else being created on offense. That's a tough. It's a tough scenario for anybody, but as UConn started collapsing more and more on him, it was like he even showed it was difficult on him, right? He had a period of what, 4 or 5 minutes? I haven't looked. I didn't watch the game on TV, obviously, and I watched it a long way away, so my account might be a little bit off because I was up in the 400s in the stadium. But still had a great angle, could see things, and didn't have to rely too much on the video boards. Again, State Farm's video boards are too small for as big of a place as it is. You I mean you need they need like Jerry World type video boards in that place. But yeah, let's look at the stats real quick. And the first thing let's talk about is Purdue's final record of the season. They're 34-5. And this is the hardest thing that nobody wanted this to end. I said in jest, half jest, tongue in cheek, maybe not, that this morning's quick cast was the longest quick cast I've done. It was 1 hour and 20 minutes because I just, I was enjoying the banter, of course, that you guys were enjoying it, looking forward to the game. A lot of you guys were nervous, and it was good to calm down together if that was the case. But we didn't want to see the season end. And watching the guys walk off the court, that last time is really tough because we don't get to see Lance Jones in a Purdue uniform again, and we don't get to see Mason Gillis in a Purdue uniform, Ethan Morton. And of course, Zach Edey. And that's really tough because there's so many complimentary things in the post game said by Painter. He had another brilliant presser, as he did all tournament. But yeah, it's tough to see this era over, the Zach Edey era over at Purdue. One team gets to walk home happy at the end of the tournament, right? One team walk home. What one team gets to end their season happy? And even making it to the last game, you're still not very happy at that. So, but 34-5, incredible season. Most wins ever by a Purdue team. UConn finishes 37-3. I still don't understand how they lost two of those games. I just don't get it. And my son tried to explain to me his thought, his theory, looking at the stats. But the big thing is they simply weren't able to shoot as much against Creighton, and Creighton was white hot. The Seton Hall game doesn't make any sense. That's not that good of a team. I mean, I know they won the NIT, but come on. UConn was great. Edey, 37 points, 10 boards, 2 blocks, and he had both of those blocks in one defensive possession. An incredible possession where it was almost like it looked like Edey was Painter had unleashed the hounds, right? Allowed him to say, okay, now hunt for block shots. And he did on one possession, but obviously can't do that all the time because of the way he's being coached to not foul, not go after those because he's so important to the team. He's absolutely needed. Smith finishes with 12 points, 8 assists, 2 steals, 3 boards. So no triple-double this year for Braden Smith, in spite of getting so close so many times. Tonight wasn't quite as close, obviously, but no triple-double for him the whole season. off the bench, this is incredible. There are a couple things that are just incredible about this box score. And again, testament to how good UConn is. But Brew gets 2 points off the bench. 2 points off the bench. And those points were super memorable. Cam Heidi's putback dunk was, that was a great moment of the game. But Heidi goes 1 for 1 shooting, 2 points. Gillis, let's see, I was curious about this. Gillis shot the ball twice, finishes 0 points. He had one that he was really trying to make something happen in the second half. I can remember he was pretty well defended left side. He took a three. I was good to see. It was good to see he was doing that. I think Paint was really trying to tell the team, you gotta start looking for shots, because a lot of guys would get the ball and they didn't have the space they're accustomed to having, and so guys were, coming up and pump faking and then trying to get right back into the middle. But he kept Colvin in for a lot of minutes because of that ability to shoot. I think Colvin shot twice. I only remember one of his shots. Early in the game, he had a shot, and then it was kind of a desert, if you will. But Purdue threw a press at UConn. That was good to see that Purdue was trying to throw some swings, some different swings. But the hard thing about that trap press, that's a zone-based press, and Purdue has to drop down and back into the man in man, and they were way out of position every time UConn broke it. And they had a guy open in the corner on the other side of the court, and then they would just kind of go into a slow motion version of their offense as they just ate up clock, kept Purdue at an arm's length. Lance Jones finishes his last game at Purdue with 5 points, 2 for 3 field goals. Purdue only shot 15 free throws, and then, like I said, from deep, 1 of 7 from 3 point, they hit 14% of their shots. I don't know much more if I have to say, but the big thing I want to reiterate is that I'm not angry at all. I'm a little upset just because I like you. Just wanted to see the next step, the next logical step for the program to get to that national championship or to win the national championship. But wanted to be. I mean, that you just can't. You watch a team play like UConn just did. I don't know what else you could say. Just that's a great team. That's it. Some of you guys are on here. Appreciate it. Appreciate you who are here for post game. So Jeff is the first. He says he's the first, and he was the first. And not only was he the first to make a comment, there was hardly anybody on here when I went live. So congrats. Maury Mohill 93 says boiler up. Good to see you, sir. Jeff says 25-year-old guard. This is the modern era of college basketball. 25-year-old guard who looks the part. He looked like a man compared to Purdue's guards who are going to get bigger and stronger, but they could not match up with them. But even UConn's guards that weren't exceptionally old, Castle, for instance, just very, very solid player. Both Newton and Spencer are old, so I don't know how old both of them are, but Mohel 93, good point. Ever grateful, ever true, as we should be. And I can tell you, gosh, I want to reiterate this. The people that I got to say hi to today and the reunion of sort in that, what do they call it, the West Bank or whatever, West Bank, West Gate, there you go, the West Gate here in Phoenix was just tons of fun. Tons of fun to be around everybody, and really good. Really good to put some faces with some of the screen names and get to talk to many of you guys. And man, it was fun. Just a fun day, and good to see old friends. I got to see my pal Roy, who was my boss when I was an RA, and spent time with my brother-in-law. It was a great time. Great time all the way around, and great day. Great day. Totally worth being here. That's the other thing. I don't regret this trip at all, in spite of the ending of the reason for coming here. The reunion portion was definitely great, and seeing Purdue come out in such force was just an awesome show for Purdue fans. Kevin Albuquerque says, "As much as I'm pained by this defeat, I'm grateful for the ride." Yeah, that's something I think we're going to feel more and more of as time goes on, right? Tonight's tough. if you're like me, voice is gone. You're probably fatigued if you were out. I mean, we started, you know, hanging out. I mean, it was sunny, it was hot, and we started at noon. The game started at 6, and yeah, it's a long day, and so everybody's tired on top of being melancholy, and I think time will heal some of these wounds. We'll feel a lot better about this, and nothing to be sad or angry about. Yeah, for just a hell of a season. Nita Bienver says, love my Boilermakers no matter what. Yep, with you. Jill says, proud of our Boilers. Thanks for tuning in, Jill. Good to see you. Jeff says, I'm sad. I get it. Paul and Bo Outdoors says, fouls were very lopsided. First UConn. Don't know what that means. Fouls were lopsided. There was a period of time where, and this isn't the reason, it's not even close to the reason Purdue lost, but that ref that we all have grown to know and disdain, the Prancy official, that I don't understand how the NCAA grades that guy out well enough that he gets to even have a job, let alone officiate in the championship. He missed so many calls in a row at one point. Like, it was just completely horrible officiating. Horrible both ways, though. That's the other thing. Like, he sucks. He's ridiculously bad at his job. And that's a shame that we even notice him in a game like this where you have so many good players on the court. I mean, you've got tons of guys that some are going to be in the league next year. Obviously, you've got probably five players on the court. I would say five players on the court that are going to be in the NBA next year. Most of them on UConn, of course. And then you've got others on Purdue that I think eventually will be in the league too. And so you've got all these names and faces that history is going to judge very kindly. And instead, we notice this toolbag official again too many times this year. Matt Linville, ever grateful, ever true. Word. Jason Schrader says, it is incredible how well they shut down the three. Yeah, it was really masterful. Really masterful. Their defense was excellent. Jeremiah Easterbrook said, thoughts on the game plan of not getting threes tonight. Painter called it going to the well of Edie, but 7 3-point attempts. Yeah, I mean, it looked to me, and granted, my opinion is tainted by being in the arena, but it looked to me like there just wasn't a lot of space opened up. Generally, you know, Purdue will hammer it into Edie. The team will choose to drop down, right, to double, to bracket him. And then that'll leave just an opening for the three-point shooter. I mean, Purdue didn't have space to shoot. And when they decided to shoot, it seemed like they were well defended. So the only thing they could have done is completely thrown out their normal game plan. We talked about this on the way home. The only way only way Purdue counters the way UConn played defense on them is to throw out what you're used to playing, throw out what got you there. And that, I understand why you wouldn't want to do that, especially in the first half. I mean, Purdue was down 6 at the first half, at the end of the first half. And Smith had that, I mean, great shot. He was falling to the right. Really great shot. From where we were sitting, I was like, man, there's no way he's going to hit this because he was fading so far to the right. Incredible shot. That helped propel Purdue back into making the game close again. And they leave the half down by 6. So do you throw everything out at that point? Because you say, okay, yeah, we need to create more threes. So do you kind of throw out your entire system? I don't think that's the right time to do that. And then by the time you realize, well, we're not getting any looks, regardless of the adjustments, you know, it just felt like the game was out of hand. And UConn with a lead, man, they're good. They're good, but they're really, really good and disciplined and can really clamp down on a team, once they have the lead. Jeremiah Easterbrook, did I say that already? Thought on the game plan. Yeah, sorry. Tom Ray said, hard fought, but not enough offense for Purdue. Not even close, right? Edie did exactly what he was expected to do, but we needed better play calls to get our threes flowing. Yeah, and that's the Handel, my pal Handel, and I were talking at halftime or texting at halftime, and I said, "This is where Paint and PJ have to earn their money, right? PJ's got to come with some magic, some sets, and Paint has to dig into the bag of tricks." And in hindsight, I just, other than completely radically overhauling the system, I don't know how you counter what UConn did. So, Andrew Wide says Purdue family. This team is special. Yeah, they're very special. This is, and I think as the years go by, when my son goes off to Purdue, hopefully he gets to see a special run as a student. I mean, I just keep getting reminded how great it is for students to get to see this. Purdue students were so, this Purdue student section was absolutely full an hour before tip-off. And you looked on the other side, UConn's was like three rows full. And I said, okay, they'll fill in, because that's kind of what UConn did all day at the bars and restaurants around here. They came late. No, they didn't show up. If you didn't know this, they gave tickets to Arizona State students that wanted to fill in UConn's student section. That's pretty embarrassing, if you ask me. I can't believe it. I know they won national championship last year, but that, if UConn can be disappointed in anything, it's that. The showing up of their students was silly. I mean, it's what it's all about. It's for the, you know, the reaction of the students should be like paramount. But Ed Albanese, the gummy bear king, says, my stomach hurt. Yeah, I believe it. I bet there are a lot of people in knots, and some people direct messaged me on Twitter and talked about that. So I get that. Brock Stepler says, fun year, boiler up. UConn just better, unfortunately. The best, right? Excited for the future. Same here. And now we can talk about that a little bit. But yeah, excited, very excited for what's coming. And it will be different. It's going to be very different. It's going to be unusual to not have the safety blanket of a 7-foot-4 Superman. But I have faith in the coaching staff. I just think it's going to take a little bit of time to figure this out. I don't know what they've got planned in the summer, like tour type stuff, but this team could really benefit from that type of trip, obviously, playing other teams. They'd lose some games, but they'd learn from it. There's going to be a lot of growing up that's needed for these guys, these young guys. They're going to be asked to do a lot quickly, at least three or four of them, I think. Might have a couple red shirts, but it's going to be a different team. So we'll see what happens to the rest of the team and who sticks around. And I hope everybody that can stay will stay, but we'll see about that. Noam23 says, needed Lawyer Smith to get hot from three. Absolutely. And hard to get hot when you're just getting so few opportunities. But I mean, even the shots, like Lawyer had a really good look, I think, from the top of the key, if I'm remembering correctly. That would have helped the bleeding. I think Purdue was down 12 or 15 at this point. And it didn't look even close to in from my angle. I think he hit the back of the rim. Yeah, just not their day shooting. So, Mr. Matt DSM says, I wish Gillis had taken his shot more, same, throughout the tournament. But I love his hard work defending and getting rebounds across games. I think you guys saw this. Drew Brees wore a Gillis jersey in the arena. That was cool. He was up on the big screen a couple times. He and Bill Murray, who Murray's son is on UConn's coaching staff. And so they had a kind of a back and forth. It was fun. It was silly. But I think Brees has a lot of respect for Gillis because of that work ethic and the hard nose kind of he's an emblem of the Purdue way, right? Even though Gillis didn't score a ton of points, you know, like he came off the bench, he humbled himself there, and then when he came in, he did what he was asked to do. Great prayer, player. Jill says, just sad for the kids, seniors, but still so proud. UConn team was great, but their coach taints it. Yep. Max says, what's up? How are you? Noam23, Hurley is a jackass. Yep. Repeatedly charging at Purdue players when play stopped for timeout. I don't understand how this is okay. I also don't understand how the NCAA continues to allow coaches to be so on the floor and so involved in the game. They did not put their foot down at all this season. It wasn't just Hurley. It was many, many coaches. And they have to do something about it. They just have to. But when you have the benchmark or standard bearer for coaches doing this shit throughout the game, and they don't do anything about it, I guess nothing's going to happen. Ulm 23 continues. Heidi and Colvin should have played more this season. Yeah, I think we can look through the prism now and say a lot of things in hindsight. And we all talked about it here. I think everybody was pretty consistent. Purdue fans wanted to see a little bit more, but it's a pretty damn good record. Pretty damn good record. Hard to second guess too much, right? Ed Albanese, as Hurley said, we wanted Lawyer, Smith, and Jones to have less than 18 points combined. They said if Edie could score 35 points, they're okay with it. Brilliant game plan. Brilliant game plan. So I hope he goes to Kentucky. Hope UConn doesn't win another championship. Tom Ray says Hurley was an embarrassment to the league, to college basketball. His antics should be punished because it was obvious his players behaved better. He is. I'm sure he's worshipped by UConn fans. Positive. You win two championships in a row, it's gonna gloss over a lot of the bad, right? Track dog Crow's Nest says, "I love my Boilers, but we just got beaten by a better team." Period. Yep, I agreed. Maniacally Steve says, "The Izzo plan, Ed Albanese, except Dan has the horses to pull it off." Yeah, exactly. That's a really good point. It's exactly the way Tom Izzo tries to play Purdue, right? You put your big against his, and then you say, "We're going to play man, and we're going to try to completely disrupt Purdue's guards." Except UConn has two NBA guards next year on on the perimeter. Then a third that'll probably play there in 2 years. They're just great out there. They're great out there. And then the guys come off the bench and they play great defense. Not very great offense. Not noteworthy offense, but very good off the bench too. Steve correctly apologizes, says, "I'm sorry, hi Dad, sorry." I'm like, "Yeah, you owe me a big apology." I'm kidding. Good to see you. Let's see. Go down a little bit here. Good conversation between you guys, sounds like, but I'm gonna fast forward to some other comments. Justin Boatwright says, "Well, at least Purdue is a national runner-up. If only Edie has one more year of eligibility." He does. He does have one more year of eligibility, and he's not using it. The delayed gratification of him going pro, I think, was awesome for Purdue. Turned out great for him. His consistency again, his focus, the team reflected it. The fact they were so businesslike during this time in Phoenix is really reflection on Edie as much as anybody else. Your teams start becoming the personality of their leadership, right? And this team really reflected Zach Edie's professionalism and his focus and his kind of just determination all season. He does have another year of eligibility though. Mr. I can't pronounce that, it's not a word. TZJJDW. Purdue alum of 15. Moved to the East Coast for a job and visited Purdue campus last year. When I walked into grad school building, I saw Swanigan's poster still hanging on one of the doors. Tears, yeah. So when I graduated, I too moved to the Northeast. I lived in the Boston area for 2.5 years. I was reminded some of the things I didn't like living in the Boston area today before the game, being around UConn fans. It's too bad. There's some good ones too. We had a great time. We went to a little cigar bar before the game, and we talked to a guy who's a UConn alum, and he's also a professor at UConn now. He's same age as me. That's funny hearing a guy same age as me, number one, those guys look pretty old that are that age, who graduated back in the late 90s. But he's a tenured professor, and he's about to retire from UConn, and he also teaches at University of Miami. He was great, really pleasant, nice dude. But all the buffoons were hanging out over in that Westgate area. So, yeah, clowns. And there are clowns on the Purdue side too, but it looked like UConn was, pretty douchey. Need to be inverse says the way too early list I read tonight already has Purdue ranked number six to start the next season. Wow. Means little, but a reminder that Purdue isn't going away. Boy, that is high. If that's high. And I know they'll have three starters returning. And I think we can now that the season's over, it's not really, it's too early to talk about it, but this is what you talk about in the offseason. So at least the season's over. But Boy, a lot of new moving parts, and we don't know exactly how the roster will settle. So, a lot of moving parts, though. So, number six, man, I would think they would land. I mean, there's a lot of respect out there for Painter and his ability to get teams to gel quickly. But I can't see him higher than 15, 16, something like that. But we'll see. We'll see. Six is crazy high. That's amazing. That's an immense amount of, if that happens, that is an immense amount of respect for Painter and nothing else. And Purdue's recruiting class is good. I think, what are they, in the teens, I think, is where they settled after it's all said and done. And there's still some things that are moving around, obviously, with NIL stuff. But, yeah. Nathan Dolan says, sad ending, but great year to bounce back to the championship was incredible. UConn, just too good. Agreed. Edie not getting much help tonight. Agreed. Hurley is a complete tool. Agreed. Hope he goes to Kentucky. Man, you and I. Same page, Nate. Jay says, great year, but Painter was out-coached again. Guard play was a problem. Hurley is a great coach, and he had a great game plan. And to paint with that brush, I have a hard time with that. And you can if you want. That's okay. I think UConn's horses were the story. And the way he prepared them, so that's the longer view of the way he coaches them, the way he has them just dialed in the tournament is incredible. That two-year run, I don't think we'll ever see anything like that again where a team just shreds everybody in their path. In this era, this is a lot different than the 60s and 70s. I think of UCLA's dominance in the NCAA tournament, national championship after national championship after national championship. But even still, the differential, the way UConn beats teams is just incredible. So, I don't know what that means. Need to be inverse says, society rewards bad behavior when you win. Unfortunately, Hurley isn't an isolated case. I'm thankful Matt Painter represents Purdue. Matt Painter's been really good representing Purdue, representing everybody. He's just been great. And he has put himself at the next level now because of the Final Four. The final, making it to the final, right, that's a big deal. But the Final Four is the label part, right? The next label for him to acquire to really put him, to set him in a even loftier status among college basketball coaches is to earn a national title. And like I said, I think they can, but we got to see what happens with this next team and how quickly they start gelling. And is 2026 my prediction of another Final Four? It's a hot take, I think, because you say, okay, that's pretty quick, right? When you think about how this team really, it didn't all come together that quickly, right? I mean, Zach Edey obviously is a catalyst. He is the catalyst. But it's going to be different. And Painter and company are going to have to overhaul the way the offense is played. They'll still have a big. We know that there are tons of bigs on this upcoming roster, but there's no big like that. So Nolan 23 says, Heidi's putback dunk was nasty. That was super fun. And that's another one of those glimpses. We see these glimpses of the future, and they're pretty great. I agree. Alex Isrig says, appreciate all the content this season. Look forward to next. Yeah, thank you. A lot of kind words from a lot of people today. I really appreciate it, and it's been fun. It's been fun hanging out with everybody all season. Gnome 23 says, looking forward to seeing Catchings. Yeah, I'm so stoked. Stoked about him. The thing that I thought about today is if you could take one or two of those incoming recruits and plug them into this year's team, let's say a year from now, would they be able to make that much of a difference versus that team, that UConn team? And I don't know. I mean, like, I look at the build of those dudes, like, you know, they're men again. And so you have these freshmen coming in that are going to be great. There's no doubt, but they're going to be young. And are they going to be ready right out of the box? I mean, we'll see. It's asking a lot for that many freshmen to do that. Last time you had that many freshmen come in and play that sort of role. I mean, it's pretty close with Smith and Lawyer. Obviously Payton knows, you know, when he sees a guy that like has the potential, he gives them the ability to go and do big things and to affect the team. But the last time we saw something like that really is the Baby Boilers. So you had I think it's three guys start right away, if I'm remembering correctly. I think Scott Martin was the third, not Juwan Johnson. And then Juwan Johnson, of course, took that spot as he started getting more and more comfortable, and then Martin transferred out. So, but that was pretty big. To have three freshmen starting is really incredible. And I think I'm remembering that correctly. Maybe I'm not, but I think I am. Kevin in Albuquerque says, wait, at Albany says, so what's the plan now? Will you go online from time to time? Football talks. Okay, so here's my immediate plan, if you care. I am going to try to do something from AJ's this week for the spring game, maybe a little look back at basketball after we've had a couple days to digest a bit. But in the longer view, generally, our content turns way down in the summer. I'll try to do something as I'm inspired or as a reaction. I don't really do things that are guessing, meaning based on other people's practice reports. Purdue doesn't really open up practice to everybody. So I kind of wait until I can actually see football with my own two eyes, right? And start reacting to the way the team looks. And yeah, I'm excited. But yeah, this is what I've done for a couple of years, and the Handsome Hour will probably start back up as a regular feature. I think we did a Monday at 9. I can never remember things after they're passed, but Monday at 9 p.m. Starting the fall, we'll get back to a regular show, which will be good. But yeah, I don't think we're going anywhere. Let's see. Kevin Albuquerque said, heard from IU fans that Purdue students at Mackey were chanting "IU sucks." I see no factual errors. Yeah, exactly. It's just kind of like them observing. Maniacally Steve says starting lineup is going to be interesting. I think 1 and 5 are set. TKR and Smith. Does Lawyer keep his spot? So this was asked to me tonight with a friend of mine. I say yes. And the reason I say yes is I think Painter trusts him. Will Colvin start? Does Heidi start next to Miles? Can a freshman break into the starters? Yes, I think a freshman will break into the starters. Maybe it won't be immediate. I don't think you're going to see what we saw this year. What Purdue did, starting the same five from start to finish of the season, is simply incredible. I think I talked about this before the game, but it is nuts to do that. Having everybody stay healthy, injury-free, what a blessing for this team. I mean, that's really very, very noteworthy. I don't think you see that next year. I think there's going to be more playing with the starting lineups and playing with the roster as Painter figures out who plays well together. He kind of knew what he was getting into this year because he had so many proven commodities, and you had one incredibly proven commodity. I still don't think, and this is like some of you guys, playing Monday morning quarterback above talking about Painter, but I still don't think that lineup that we saw all season that earned, what do we say, 34 wins, was the best lineup. I still think Gillis was a better lineup. And I understand why you'd bring him off the bench because he's so steady. But I mean, what do I know? But I just, the offense never looked completely crisp or like humming along to me perfectly with the high and low post. I just never. So I talked about this a couple times. I didn't really editorialize too much, especially as they were rolling, because I'm like, what the hell are you going to say? You could be better than, winning 9 in a row. But I don't know what, in the long view, I don't know what Painter could have done to get this team to be better than that UConn team in the championship. Let's pretend for a second we had all the facts in front of us. We knew could Painter have gotten them ready to beat UConn with this roster in those many months? I don't think so. I think UConn's that good. And so just my opinion, if we're going to keep just throwing out opinions, why not? Kyle says, can't wait to see the next steps. Can't wait to see who steps up next year. Yeah, agreed. It's gonna be so much fun. Maniacally Steve says Purdue is so young. If they go with that lineup, that's three juniors and two sophomores. He's going up there to the last one. Yeah. Justin Boatwright says, boy, the pandemic year really is strong, generating the extra year of eligibility for players. Yeah, and it's a gift that just keeps on giving, and I mean that sarcastically. I enough already. I mean, enough with having men playing with boys. I mean, that came out wrong. But goodness gracious, I'm ready for this era to be over, and it feels like it never ends. I think I'm told that the next year is the end of the pandemic era affecting eligibility of players. But it feels to me like if you just ask the NCAA nicely, they'll be like, yeah, sure. And then the next guy, they'll say, no, NCAA continues to suck. Nikki Asimov says, Catchings, Heidi, Colvin equals Showtime Boilers. Goodness gracious, it's going to be fun. Like the athleticism, the quickness, the change of pace. I think you're going to see a very fast, athletic Purdue team. And I think it's going to absolutely floor a lot of the dumbasses that are out there in the Big Ten and elsewhere. The stupid people that talked about Edie. I hope you guys kept receipts. And when they try to act like nice now, I got no time for that. Because that stuff got really personal, it seems like. And these people don't know anything about that guy. They don't know even as much as you and I do, where, you stayed after a game with your kid, and Edie was kind enough to stay for 2 hours signing autographs and taking cell phone shots. And these people badmouth this kid's character. Suck it. Got no time for him. And I hope these people are going to try to move on. Like a, you know, I, have you ever watched a dumb sitcom where somebody's character completely changes, or a drama where they're changing, the bad guy becomes the really likable person? Yeah, that doesn't work in real life for me. There's nobody asking for forgiveness. That's the key. Nobody's asking for forgiveness. I'm not going to forget what you did. Jared Bilski says, haha, well, I don't know what that is. Don't care. Matt DSM says, sorry, silly question. What kind of banner goes up? I think what you'll see, I don't think they'll put a runner up for Final Four and finalist, NCAA finalist. But I think you'll see one, so it'll just say finalist. I think that'll be it. So that's pretty good. It'll have the Final Four logo on it. It'll say NCAA finalist. That's my guess. I think Butler did something like that. That's why I think that. Likely, Steve says, no room. Track dog and list to transfer out and incoming freshmen go to prep. Yeah, there's the roster is tight. And so this is where do certain guys head on to other places? I don't ever want to suggest this, especially on this forum. I wouldn't do that. If I would have, was having a conversation with one of you guys in person, I might talk about this. But on the record, I don't want to do that. And I really don't want to. I don't see anybody on the team that looks like a character issue where I'm like, that's when I start thinking it'd be great if this guy or that guy transfers out. It always comes down to character and what are they doing? Are they bad for the chemistry? Are they bad for the team? Do they represent Purdue poorly? That sort of thing. I don't see any guys on the roster like that. So I'd like everybody to stay that wants to stay, but I know it's not possible. Derek Wade says Edie and Purdue were exposed. Yeah, Derek, you're a jackass. I mean, like, exposed by what? Exposed by what? By a team being the best team head and shoulders above everybody else. Yeah, they're the best team. Purdue was number two in America. Every metric agrees with this. Purdue's really good. UConn's better. Hot take, bud. Great. Ed Albany says everyone. Yeah, I don't care. Nolan 23. Minding my own business at church last weekend. Some dude says banner up. Yeah. People are stupid. Most of them struggle to be gracious. Ryan Klipp says most fun this season. My 33 years on the planet. I'm third generation boiler. And I'd trade nothing about the season, agreed. Sure, I'd love to have won today, won it all, but Purdue left it all out there. Yeah, that's a, they played the better team. So, Karen Gerlach says, never more proud, ever faithful, ever true. Karen, great time this season getting to kind of know you virtually. Always proud of this team. Thank you, BD, for all your help or all you have to do with this format. Yeah, it was fun. Tim Swartzel, I got to spend a minute with today, says, just said it. Purdue was great. UConn was better. That's it. Yeah, nothing to not be proud of there. I know in the black and white, everything's got to be really stark. Social media fueled world we have, there's no shades of gray, and you got to be stupid like people talk up there. Yeah, Purdue's a great team, and UConn's a better team. Colby says, need to quit drinking after this. Boiler up regardless. Yeah. Never good. Never good to drink if you're upset. you know, it's not a good practice. Yeah, Ed Albany says, remember watching it at the beginning of the season. What a year. It's a tremendous season. Tremendous year. Good time for everybody to get to know each other. If you're going to spring game, we should keep going. I mean, well, let's put your faith, your whatever, your attention into that basket and go watch some football. So I'm looking forward to seeing Walter's boys get better as the season goes on. They are so lowly rated in predictions. Last in the conference, second last in the conference by many people prognosticate. They're not going to be that bad. I'm guessing middle of the conference, but then again, I'm just guessing because there are so many things that Purdue has to get better at. They went out and got some needs solved in the offensive line. The receiver position is still a big question mark for me. I think Card can be better. Offensive coordinator has to do better calling plays. Has to do better getting guys prepared. Ryan Klipp says, go to Phoenix Friday, surrounded by Purdue family out there. It was amazing. Getting the monkey off the back for Purdue in March was also amazing. Eric D says, wish they would have worn gold uniforms. They'll be back even stronger next year. I hate the modern Nike gold uniforms. I hate them. It's an awful color, in my opinion. And I think I might be in the minority here for Purdue fans, but I don't like that urine stained off-white beige color. I just don't like it. That's just me. It's not a good color. I don't think anybody can look good in it. You could put Michael B. Jordan in those uniforms, and he's not going to look great in them. So, Zach Britt says, just another building block. Purdue is heading the right direction and doing it the right way. Proud of the whole squad. Proud of the whole squad. Proud of the proud of Paint taking big steps forward. Proud of the Purdue family. Like I said today, it was awesome. But that's about it. Thanks to those of you guys who stayed up super late back east. Those of you who are still awake, you're probably, maybe you're having a hard time winding down. I was just lamenting that how much fun it would have been to not go to sleep tonight, because I think I would have had a hard time getting to sleep. So, yeah. But thanks to everybody all season. We'll be talking here and at 2 a.m. back in Indiana. But yeah, we'll be around. And but it's been a good season. It's been fun. Fun journey with everybody. Let's see. Yeah, Andrew Schultz says thanks for hosting. Yeah. So thanks to everybody again. And it was a lot of fun. So hammer down, guys, girls, friends and family. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon. And that's a hell of a season. See ya.